900.
Here we go.
Welcome to Living Radio. Here's the news.
Is seen as a center, a place of genteel sophisticates and refined culture, but even these rarefied airs have their dark side.
From the Associated Press and NPR on April 30th, how a father and daughter duped NYC's art world.
A year ago, a young woman sold a painting by Andrew Wyeth, claiming it was a family heirloom.
She and her father, Polish citizens living in New Jersey, proceeded to sell a multitude of paintings to auction houses and art dealers. Most of these were lesser-known works by prolific artists such as Andy Warhol and Banksy.
But it is now believed that at least 200 of these were fakes forged in Poland by an unnamed co-conspirator.
The fakes were identified due to small irregularities, such as incorrect zoning details on a stamp on the back of the painting.
On Tuesday, the duo pleaded guilty to defrauding their victims of at least $2 million.
Erin Thompson, a professor of art crimes, which, let's just pause a moment to appreciate how metal that job is, said these types of crimes are more common than most people realize.
The only unusual thing about this case, Professor Thompson is quoted as saying, is that the forgers got caught.
Art isn't easy.
And now, here is The Blue Period, written by Gabrielle Urbina, directed by David Regano. Performed live at Frigid New York's Under St. Mark's Theater, May 4th, 2026.
It's so bold. Mm. It's a very brave work of art.
As a painting, it's dynamic. It takes no prisoners.
It's complex. It has layers.
It does so much with so little.
It's bright.
It has depth.
Familiar. Comforting, even.
Transgressive. Insulting.
It makes me want to have sex.
It makes me want to burn down this whole building.
I love it.
I love it too.
If you've been to a certain corner of the American Museum of Modern Art, you've probably seen the painting they're talking about. A startling piece which arrests the eye and unlawfully detains your four other senses. The name on the placard is that of a very famous painter, but its true origin is much, much stranger. Now, on the one hand, it is supposed to be a secret, so I really shouldn't tell anyone about this. On the other hand, I am very drunk right now. So what the hell? Let's have a story. My name is Marcel Kowalski. You've never heard my name, but I assure you, you've seen my work. From the early days of my childhood, my mother said I had a gift. Maybe it was my eye for composition. Maybe it was my command over color. Maybe it was the acrylic paint set my father got me as a present for my 6th birthday. Whatever it was, my mother said I should make something of it. This advice I took in earnest. And from that day, my easel, my paintbrush, and I were inseparable. This arrangement did no favors for my sex life. But my artistic talents blossomed like a water lily in the Museum of Modern Art. At the Academy of Fine Arts in Warsaw, my mentor thought my brushwork was exquisite.
The brushwork here, it is exquisite.
He said, my colors were bold and expressive.
The colors are quite expressive, bold even.
He said I was destined to be one of the greats.
My boy, I believe you are destined for greatness, but all your work is derivative of the old masters. You need to strike out, find your own unique style.
And there, ended our days of being in agreement. My objection to his position was not philosophical, it was practical. For you see, I believe that artistic expression is one of the most powerful forces in the universe, second only to the iron law of supply and demand. At that point, it was the late 90s, and interest in Marcel Kowalski pieces was at an all-time low, but museums and art galleries were clamoring for Vincent van Gogh. It seemed only sensible to provide this demand with an appropriate supply, sensible and profitable. Was there an occasional pang of guilt over the years as I remade Rembrandts and rebooted Renoirs? Perhaps. But there was something about the act of creation and the joy of colors coming together in the mountains of money that made me screw my courage to the sticking place and soldier on. And so the years went by and I worked through all the great masters, honing my skills, getting ready, if only unconsciously, for the day I met her. It was a long, cold winter that year, with the sort of snow that puts you in the mind for a nice gagon. I stepped into my studio and there she was, a dame with eyes like a Vermeer and a body like a Botticelli, if you know what I mean. I could tell she'd been waiting for me.
I've been waiting for you, Mr. Kowalski.
I could tell because she told me, which was really helpful, actually. Now, what can I do for you, miss?
Let me paint a picture for you. No, wait, the other way around. You see, I know this gentleman in New York City.
What kind of gentleman in New York City?
The kind that likes paintings but doesn't ask a lot of questions. He's in the specific market for something specific, and I intend to be the one that becomes rich by filling that niche, if you catch my drift.
Supply and demand, it makes the world go round.
Word on the street is that you're the man for the job, though I should warn you, what I have in mind will be quite challenging.
Challenging? Lady, come on, I've done all the greats. I've done Monets.
Monet? Oh, please. A Monet is passé. Painting a Monet is nothing but child's play and quite démodé, as they say in Francais.
I'm not sure I followed any of that, but I like the way it sounded.
Well, what I'm looking for, Mr. Kowalski, is something of a Spanish vintage from, say, 1901 to 1904, with a certain Joni Mitchell-like quality, if you follow.
You don't mean.
Oh, yes, Mr. Kowalski, I do mean.
Pablo Picasso, the Blue Period. So called because for 3 whole years, as he lay awash in a deep depression, mourning the death of a dear friend and surrounded by devastation, poverty, and misery, Picasso painted predominantly in shades of blue. The results are paintings of ecstatic beauty, even as they depict tremendous sadness and loneliness. The discovery of a new painting from the Blue Period would be the art event of the decade. I told my new patroness that we were on, and she gave me an enormous briefcase full of unmarked bills, and I promised I'd have something for her by the 4th. For the next 3 weeks, I did nothing but paint. I ate canvas. I breathed acrylic fumes. I drank the water that we dip our paintbrushes into, which really, I would not recommend that. It's very nasty. But at the end of it, I had a brand new Picasso. There was just one problem.
It stinks.
Oh, I got a bad feeling about this. Stinks? What do you mean it stinks? That's first-rate work right there.
Oh, the brush strokes are very fine indeed, Mr. Kowalski, but it ain't what I asked for. Look at that thing. It's a joyous portrait of a couple in love walking through the forest. The sun is shining, squirrels are frolicking, and there's not a single sad thing in sight. I asked you for Picasso's Blue Period, but I think you gave me Bob Ross's Pink Era.
She was right. Instead of a stark portrait of crushing desolation, I'd somehow painted the cover of a Hallmark holiday movie. How could this have happened?
How could it not have happened?
I asked my friend Victor to weigh in, to help me figure out what the problem was. Victor, what is the problem?
The problem is this. You're not blue.
I'm not blue?
You're not blue. Pablo Picasso, when he painted those pictures, he was at the end of his rope. He was miserable. He was blue. That's not you. You've got money. You've got friends. Your life is good. If you're gonna need to do that thing, all them Hollywood actors do when they are working.
Cocaine?
Method acting. You gotta live what you're trying to create.
Method painting. It was just crazy enough that it might work. To paint this damn thing, I just have to make myself sad enough. The next day, I went into the studio with a bottle of vodka, a box set of Mountain Goats, and a DVD copy of Grave of the Fireflies. The next morning, I woke up with a hangover and an exquisite painting of Labrador puppies capering through a field. No good. The following week, I picked a fight with my best friend and burnt down my favorite bar. Went into a fugue state that night and came out of it with a 7-part series depicting travelers being reunited with their loved ones at the arrival gates of Charles de Gaulle. I decided it was time to get serious. I told my wife I was leaving her. I told both my mistresses I was breaking up with them. I spent the next 48 hours painting a mural of kids having fun on the first day of summer vacation. What the hell is wrong with me? Enough was enough. If I can't paint the damn thing, I can't paint the damn thing. So I sent the money back with my apologies. 2 days later, I was having a quiet drink at the bar, and I thought to myself, with a bit of luck, I'll never see that dame again in my life.
You owe me a painting, Mr. Kowalski.
It appears I was fresh out of luck. Now, wait a minute. I gave all the money back. I sent my apologies, so unless you got some kind of big, muscly, hired goon type person to drag me back to the studio, you and I are quits.
Hey, how you do? Is this the guy then, ma'am? The one we're gonna be roughhousing within an inch of his life?
Luck was still in short supply. The man was as gentle as you can expect any gorilla to be, which is to say, not at all. By the time he got me back to the studio, my face was turning all kinds of interesting colors. Then they took the bag from off my head. There I was. In my studio, a white canvas in front of me.
We had a deal, Mr. Kowalski. The gentleman in New York is still looking for Picasso's Blue Period, and you are going to give it to him.
I can't, you crazy broad!
Hey, you be polite when speaking to her, or you and I are going to go back to the physical culture.
I can't paint the picture. I'm not blue enough.
Not blue enough?
Yeah, not blue enough. I'm not depressed. I'm feeling too good about my life, so everything comes out sunshine and rainbows and puppies.
See, I always thought that was a false equivalence. You know, that the idea that artists need to be depressed or fucked up to make art about depressing subjects or even just good at art in general was just a dated stereotype that perpetuated harmful ideas about mental health in the artistic community. But what do I know? I'm just the muscle. Don't mind me.
Anyway, if it is sadness you require, Mr. Kowalski, my associate can provide you with a rather somber tragedy, one that will make you quite blue, if I say so myself.
Wait, listen to me.
You want me to start with the hammer or with the saw, ma'am?
I think for a friend here, let's go with the drill.
You're not waiting or listening to me.
Right. Some unlicensed dental work coming right up.
But in that moment, inspiration. This whole time, the solution had been right there in front of me. I grabbed a can of paint. I pried the lid off and I threw it at the white canvas. Before my assailants could so much as blink, I was upon it with my paintbrush, giving it shape, volume, dimension. In just a matter of moments, it was done.
It's unconventional. Not without a certain brutalist charm to it.
I don't get it, but I like it.
Yes, I dare say, I can make this work, Mr. Kowalski.
And indeed, she made it work. The painting was a smashing success when it arrived in New York. It sold at auction for a much higher price than any of my previous work. My new associates were eager to get more new paintings out of me, but I was starting to feel that the art world might be a bit too exciting for me in my old age. I retired from it and now live a much simpler life as an illegal sports bettor and weapons smuggler. But still, one does get nostalgic, and when I do, I head on down to the museum where my masterpiece is still on display, just the way it was on that cold winter's day in the studio in Warsaw. A perfect circle of smooth cerulean, right in the center of a blank white canvas, and right next to it, the placard proudly proclaiming its title, Pablo Picasso's The Blue Period. I'm
blue. This has been The Blue Period, written by Gabrielle Urbina, directed by David Regano. Featuring Alexandra Kramer, Mark Lowenstern, and Ed Malin. Performed live for Living Radio at Frigid New York's Under St. Mark's Theater, May 4th, 2026. Audio production by Robert A.K. Gagno. Living Radio was formerly a project of Co-op Theater East. Follow us at Living Radio NYC on Instagram and find all our past recordings at our website, livingradionyc.com.